episode 38 of Understanding Latin American Politics, the podcast. I'm Greg Weeks. I'm a political science professor at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. And today I'm talking to Mervyn Bain, who is lecturer in politics and international relations and head of the School of Social Sciences at the University of Aberdeen. He has published extensively on the relationship between Russia and Cuba. So, Mervyn, thank you so much for taking some time.
No, well, that's no problem. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
So now I'm going to I start with this question for everybody, and that is, how did you first get interested in studying Latin American politics?
I guess where my interest really came from was, I guess maybe a little bit unusual, that my original interest was kind of Soviet history and modern Soviet history. And then when I was at university, I was also doing courses on Latin America. And it seemed to be, for my undergraduate dissertation, what way could I link the two up? And the kind of the obvious kind of suggestion or answer was Cuba. So that's really where my interest came. And then once I started becoming interested in Soviet-Cuban relations, then my interest in Latin America grew from that. So it's maybe a slightly unusual way to coming into Latin American kind of, you know, politics and history. But that was really the way that I did it.
But it was all through Russia, oddly enough.
It was absolutely through Russia, and then via Cuba as well.
Yeah. Okay, so the Cold War obviously is long gone. But does that strong past Cold War relationship, is that still the basis for current Cuba-Russia relations? I mean, is that something Vladimir Putin cares about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very important. I mean, I guess another way to think of it is, if that Cold War relationship between Moscow and Havana hadn't existed, would the relationship really be like it is at the present time? And I would probably suggest that it wouldn't be. So, I mean, it's certainly key for the relationship at the moment. It's maybe trying to use links, you know, from how closely intertwined the two countries were for that kind of 30-year period, I think is really important for the relationship being there. Cuba can also be important for Russia, as Russia has taken an increase in Latin America, that it can almost be used by Russia as a way to try to maybe gain access to the rest of Latin America. But I think what is really interesting is, in the last few years, is that both countries are starting to make increasing kind of relevance to even the relationship that was existed between them before 1959 and the Cuban Revolution, just demonstrating the longevity of the relationship, which I would imagine is being done because the fact, you know, it's now, as you said, it's a long time since the end of the Cold War, since the Soviet-Cuban relations. You now have at least one generation, probably two, born in both countries, both in Russia and in Cuba, after the end of Soviet-Cuban relations. I think it's both countries or both governments trying to demonstrate the longevity of the relationship and why the relationship still exists.
Yeah, and I happen to see that the number of Russian tourists going to Cuba has increased in recent years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's quite remarkable that, you know, even the time I've been going to Cuba, now it's relatively common to hear Russian being spoken, you know, in Havana, which seems a little bit strange. You've got Russian restaurants, a couple of Russian restaurants in Havana as well. I mean, it really has increased greatly. I think, you know, it's aided the fact that Russian citizens don't need visas to travel to Cuba, increases or makes it, I guess, facilitates it. And the fact it's relatively easy to fly to Cuba from Russia as well, I think, is important. But again, it's interesting in the fact that it's probably that relationship, that Cold War relationship you're talking about, maybe increasing, you know, Russians' interest in going to Cuba.
That's interesting you say that, because I had talked to some Australians who were lamenting the fact that it was really difficult. The connection between Australia and Latin America was difficult because it was hard to fly. So it's interesting to hear that if you're Russian, then I suppose you just can, do you go direct, you somehow connect in Western Europe, or?
It's both. I mean, there are some direct flights, but there's also, you can connect via Amsterdam, Paris as well. So it's relatively easy. And although it's a long way, you know, yeah, from to Cuba, it's relatively easy to do and would be much easier than for Australians.
Okay. Now, last year you published an article in the Latin Americanist, the journal that I edit, and you talked about the triangular relationship with Cuba, Russia, and the U.S. And just explain for listeners how relevant you feel that triangle still is.
I guess that triangle was absolutely, you know, of utmost importance when the relationship came into existence, you know, after the Cuban Revolution and the Cold War. I would argue it's still relevant now, simply just due to the nature of Cuban-US relations. It's still important, maybe not as important as it was, but it would still have significance. You know, Cuba and the United States are so, you know, I guess close geographically, it would be the obvious place for Cuba to trade. That it's I would imagine that all of Cuba's bilateral relations with other countries, there's always going to be this third element to it of the United States as well, maybe not to the level of the Cold War. That's maybe changed slightly more recently with, with Donald Trump becoming president, and maybe that slight deterioration in relations with Cuba. So it's still important, but not as sorry, not as significant as it was with the creation of relations in the late 1950s and early 1960s.
Now, you hear, at least in the United States, conspiracy theories about Russia trying to reestablish bases or things like that. How much, in your opinion, today is Cuba very careful about its relations with Russia to not antagonize the United States?
It is. I mean, it's obviously, it's an interesting dynamic that's developed since, December 2014. That started that, normalization process between Cuba and the United States. I think what was very interesting was that in January 2015, the day before the talks started between Cuba and the United States, there was a Soviet spy ship in Havana Harbor. That's no coincidence. And I think what that's really doing as well is that that's Cuba kind of, signaling to the United States that, our relationship may be improving, but we're not going to just completely side, with the United States to the detriment of our other relations. So Cuba, it is important, exactly what you said, but it's also kind of trying to develop this relationship and show that its future relationship, or sorry, its previous relationships with other countries are still important as well, for those. I mean, you see, I guess another good example is with Nicholas Snowden and how he was supposed to be going to Ecuador and flying via of Havana, and it was actually the Cuban government that stopped him being able to transit in Havana. And there's always been that idea that was that done to try and signal to the United States, that they're trying to improve the relationship with the United States. So Cuba's kind of, I guess playing this game of trying to improve the relationship with the United States, but while also showing to Washington that its previous relationships with other countries as Russia, other countries in Latin America, Western Europe remain important as well.
And how important do you think Obama's new policy was for the Russians? I mean, do they see that as a problem? Do they care the fact that Cuban-U.S. relations, at least for a time, got closer?
I mean, well, what you would always see is that the, I guess throughout the post-Cold War period, Russia had always criticized the continuing U.S. embargo. So it did praise the improvement in the relationship, that was put in place by Obama, but it still criticized the embargo that was still in place as well. You see sometimes in Russia as well, I guess the accusation existing that wasn't maybe similar to some of the things that took place between the U.S. and the Soviet Union under Gorbachev. So I guess a more cynical way of viewing it by some Russians was that was it almost a US way of trying to undermine the Cuban Revolution, but just by different means. So it was important, obviously, it changed the dynamic, but you still sometimes see these more kind of maybe more cynical or Machiavellian ways of perceiving it as well, while they continue to criticize the ongoing embargo.
Yeah, because you say cynical. I mean, how much do you think the Russians now care about the Cuban Revolution per se? Or is it.
I think,
Yeah, go ahead.
sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, I think it's important in that I think why the Cuban Revolution remains important for Russia is the fact that Moscow can use its relationship with Cuba to kind of show its global influence, its global prestige. So therefore, because Moscow is basically marginalized in the early 1990s, again, it's showing its global influence. This greater Russia again. So again, it's going back to, I guess, the first question that we're speaking about as well, about why Cuba remains important for Russia is, it's Russia being able to project itself as this global power, by its relationship with Cuba as well, being important. So Cuba does remain important for Russia, and also the fact that you now, both countries, both Cuba and Russia, basically side with each other, same kind of maybe opinions on a lot of global. As well, and being important. So it's also that political aspect as well is significant.
So it's interesting you say that. So you think that Cuba and would Venezuela also be an example of how Russia's trying to project its global power? And then who is it trying to project that to? I mean, the United States or just the world?
It would be. I mean, it's exactly as you said. It's just kind of trying to project its power, its global influence. It would be to the United States. What would also be very important as well, it would also be to Russians as well. So it's like an internal kind of audience as well. That are not, many Russians were unhappy with how the situation unfolded in the 1990s. So therefore, they want to see Russia return as a great power. So therefore, although this kind of trying to project itself can be seen almost as being assertive, it can almost be a way of the Putin government trying to garner support for itself as well. So it's both an internal and an external audience that this projection of Russian powers being conducted for.
And so internally, sorry, these are all real interesting. I hadn't mentioned these questions before, but since the Russia-Cuba relationship is so old, is there a sense in Russia that that relationship should remain strong forever? And I mean, and that no Russian president should quote unquote lose Cuba? Is there any sense like that within Russia?
There would certainly be within sections of Russian society, absolutely, that again, thinking back to the Cold War period, that really, Cuba was almost the first among equals, for the Soviet Union, and therefore it was this image of this global power that the Soviet Union had and global influence. So therefore it does hold a special place, or Cuba does hold a special place for a number of Russians as well, for that reason. But also, again, as we've said, it's that projection of Russian power on a global stage. So therefore, a number of people would be unhappy if that took place. When you have in is it 2002 when Putin announced that the Lourdes listing post is going to be closed, there's a lot of criticism in the Russian press at that time. It's basically described as a gift to Bush at that point. So again, you could maybe project that forward as well, that if a similar thing happened again, there would be a lot of criticism again if, as you suggested, a Russian president lost Cuba.
Right. And so my next question, it's similar, and maybe you've already answered it in part, but how much is Russia's interest in Cuba now based on just trying to annoy the U.S. or be in the U.S. quote unquote backyard?
It certainly is to an element, but it's also that internal audience as well, that's important, for our Russians as well, internally within Russia. That's important for that reason as well. The relationship also has significance for Russia, as I suggested, politically, in the fact that you have Cuba being able to I guess side with Russia in the UN and various other international fora. So it's certainly partly to annoy the United States. But it's these other reasons that are also significant as well.
And coming back to question of U.S. engagement, you mentioned that Cuba was trying to send signals to the Russians after December 2014 that it was not going to abandon Russia. But have you noticed in the past 2.5 years any way that the Cuban engagement with the U.S. affected the Cuba-Russia relationship?
Not hugely. It's been, as I said, it's very interesting that, obviously it's hugely historic, that process between Cuba and the United States since December 2014. But the relationship with Russia and Cuba has continued, kind of in a similar manner as well. You could argue possibly becoming even more important due to the internal situation in Venezuela, as that starts to spiral more and more out of control. There's the idea that will Cuba try and get oil from Russia again to counterbalance that, or the oil it gets from Venezuela. So it's not really affected the relationship. That normalization process with the United States hasn't really affected the relationship with Russia in any great way.
Yeah, and you mentioned I was going to ask about Venezuela because I wonder, you have two things happening at once. You have Venezuela is falling apart, but then you also have the Trump administration that says, at least claims, that it wants to roll back President Obama's policies. But it seems that if the U.S. pulls back from Cuba, then Cuba is naturally going to go closer to the Russians to get what it cannot get from Venezuela, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean it's the situation's changed quite, dramatically since December 2014. I mean you've pretty much summarized it perfectly then, the fact that it's one, Trump changing his policies towards Cuba, US policies towards Cuba, but also that situation in Venezuela. Where is Cuba going to be able to get its oil? And it looks like it's going to turn back more towards Russia at the moment.
Which is also ironic given the fact that Trump has all of these problems with Russia, so that all of these things happening at the same time. He's actually pushing Cuba into the arms of the Russians just as he's in the middle of this huge controversy with the Russians. And so it's this weird connection between U.S. domestic policy and U.S. foreign policy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Now, thinking about the long-term relationship, we still have Raul Castro in power, who is a direct connection to the original development of the Russian-Cuban connection. Do you see the relationship changing after Raul Castro is gone?
I guess that's the big question. I guess it's always like the big question, what happens after the Castros. I would imagine in the short to medium term, the relationship between Cuba and Russia is not going to change considerably. Obviously, Raul's due to retire next year, but if he continues to have that significant position within the Cuban Communist Party, what change will really take place? Is well, over time, you would imagine that the next Cuban president is probably going to be from a different generation. Generation after, born after the Cuban Revolution, how much change will actually take place, I guess, is the huge question in Cuba generally, but also towards all its various different bilateral relationships as well. Person you would imagine who might become the next president is going to be brought up under the Cuban Revolution under that system. Therefore, you could argue that that might strengthen or increase the chances of the relationship with Russia remaining, robust. As well. So I guess it's really connected to the big question about what really happens to Cuba in general after Raul. And it looks like, Raul style, maybe Cuba style, it'll maybe be slow reform. So therefore, again, if it's slow reform, that would, increase the chances of the relationship with Russia remaining, important for Cuba for the, again, as I've suggested, the short to medium term.
Okay, and then with thinking of generations, like you mentioned, that there is still a pretty good sense in Russia that there should be a connection in Cuba. Do younger Cubans, younger generations, have the same feeling about Russia, do you think?
Probably, compared to maybe the generations that you can probably remember the early to mid 1980s or before, that kind of really kind of high point of Soviet Cuban relations. It's changed as well. But again, as I think as I said, as suggested earlier, I think that's why it's so important that both the Cuban and the Russian governments are talking about the longevity of the relationship as well, to show that the relationship should be there. It's always been there. That these kind of things is as well. So you'll certainly see maybe, younger Cubans don't have the affinity towards, Moscow, perhaps, older generations did. But again, that's something that obviously the Cuban government's aware of, and I think, as I've suggested, trying to counterbalance with this talk of the longevity of the relationship.
Yeah, because one interesting thing is that you can have Russians who come as tourists to Cuba, but Cubans don't have the same money to go to Russia to try to develop that kind of linkage. It's just one way.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. That's exactly the point. Exactly. And obviously, you don't really have the cultural or educational exchanges that were there during the Soviet period.
Right. So one last question, thinking about when you mentioned Russia wanting to project global power. Again, in the U.S., that sort of the alarmist argument is that Russia is trying to expand its influence in Latin America. We do see some; it sells arms or has sold arms to Venezuela. But do you see the special relationship between Russia and Cuba as really being singular, or does it form part of a Russian effort to expand its influence across the region?
It's the relationship between Cuba and Russia is important for that Russian desire to become more involved in Latin America. Cuba can almost be kind of like the conduit for that Russian involvement. I think as well, the fact that with Cuban foreign policy and Cuba now has, good relations with the majority of Latin American countries, it would cause Russia problems if Russia tries to become involved with other Latin American countries and it didn't have good relations with Cuba, because you would then have this accusation from other Latin American countries, why had you simply abandoned your former ally as well? So the relationship between Cuba and Russia is certainly important for Russia's desire to become more involved in Latin America, absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, with that, we are out of time. I've been talking to Mervyn Bain, who's lecturer in politics, international relations, and head of the School of Social Sciences at the University of Aberdeen. Mervyn, again, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.